comes down to this. Religious people just don't care about anybody else but themselves. As long as they are saved, this is the thrust of Christianity, personal savior. And the better part of your life is wrapped up in making sure that you're saved. You're going to go to heaven instead of the bad place. Hey, everybody, Martin Zender here. A little subdued after yesterday. I could barely get the camera turned off when I broke down in tears at this pitiful scene, really, of the great people of the earth being reduced to basically animals hiding from God, crying out for the rocks to fall on them. That's such a poignant scene. And it's going to happen. And this is what I think this does. This is what it does to me. I'll say that. And then if it does it to you, good. It makes me look at them today and think differently of them. I've said to you before how when I see in the unveiling in later chapters, which we will get to, when I see how God hates organized religion and I see how he destroys it, it helps me to come back to this day when organized religion is still intact and helps me see through it. I'm not going to be tricked by the fancy buildings, by the expensive buildings, by the great whitewash that's applied to the doctrines of men. But I see through to God the way God thinks of it. So likewise here, only it's the other way. It's a reversal in a way. I see these people and I see them hiding from God. And yet I know their end. I know that God is their savior too. And I know that this is just a wake-up call to bring them to the truth that you and I have come to. We had our own wake-up call, right? Why rob these people of their wake-up call? Well, I didn't need a wake-up call. I just came to God. Oh, come on. You had your wake-up call. Something in your life made you look for Jesus. And this was a God-inspired quest. And then God gave you faith. So are you going to rob these people who are now praying for the rocks to fall on them and unveiling chapter 6 at the opening of the sixth seal? Are you now going to blame them? Well, they deserve to die. How? It took God to give you faith. You didn't give yourself faith. God gave you faith. So why are you going to rob them of their faith? Of their come to Jesus moment? This is their come to Jesus moment. Well, they curse them first. You might have done that too. I've had my fair share of cursing out God. But he brings everybody to the same place eventually, but by different means. And God, I looked up this verse last night. This is good. It's in Job 14:15. Job says this. This is the English Standard Version. You would call, and I would answer, and you would yearn for me your handiwork. I'm sorry, that's the New Living Translation. Let's look at the English Standard Version. You would call, I would answer you. You would long for the work of your hands. You long for the work of your hands. The International Standard Version says, you will call and I will answer you. You will long for your creatures that your hands have made. This is what I was telling you yesterday, that God has an investment in the creatures that his hand has made. And this is why human beings are so callous toward these people, because their hands didn't make them. But their hands make other things. For instance, somebody could be a craftsperson, and they could make, let's just say, let's say somebody makes a stuffed giraffe. And here's a stuffed giraffe, a cute little thing I'm showing you on the studio cam. And somebody makes a stuffed giraffe, and they love their little stuffed giraffe. And they don't like anybody to say anything bad about it because it's so cute. And God forbid somebody should throw it in the fire and destroy it. So they're, my precious giraffe. And yet, they're very cavalier about the destruction of human beings in flames of fire forever. Oh, not the destruction, pardon me, but the eternal torment of human beings. And yet, their precious giraffe. I think of Jonah. He had no regard for the souls of Nineveh. He couldn't stand them. He didn't want to go to Nineveh in the first place to preach anything to those losers. And you thought he could hide from God, just like these people under the rocks in the Unveiling 6. And so he goes on a ship. Ah, that'll teach God. He won't find me here. I'm in a ship on the big ocean. God will never find me. Well, a big storm comes. And Jonah immediately realizes this is from God. So the storm comes. He tells the other mariners with him, cast me into the sea and the storm will abate. It's because of me that this storm has come in the first place. So they argued with him. No, that's crazy. We're not going to do that. The storm got worse. And then they said, okay, yeah, we'll go ahead and try this. So they threw him in the ocean and he would have died except a large fish swallowed him. You know you're having a bad day when the best thing that happens to you is you're swallowed by a large fish. That fish saved Jonah's life, spit him out on the shores of Nineveh, and guess what? Jonah has a bit of a change of heart. I guess I'll preach to these losers after all. But he does it very uninspiredly. 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed. He does it in the manner of Eeyore. 40 more days. And the people repent like crazy. Jonah's the greatest evangelist ever. 20,000 people fall on their faces. It shows you the power of God. But then what does he do? You know, he hopes they don't repent, and he camps out under some kind of vine, some kind of plant, a pumpkin plant, I don't know, some kind of. And he loves this thing. It gives him shade. It's a precious little plant. He loves it. He pets it, talks nicely to it. But the sun withers it, and now the sun is baking on his poor little bald head, and he no longer has his little plant. And he curses God for taking away the plant. God says, you care more about this frickin' plant than you do about the inhabitants of Nineveh. And Jonah says, I guess you got a point there. I really do. I care more about this plant. And many people will care more about this stuffed giraffe than they will about human beings because they made it. It's a craft that they made. It's precious to them. Whether it's a napkin holder or a cabinet, you know, wooden cabinet or a stuffed owl, whatever you like. Whatever crafts people are into today. What, people make candles. People make little Christmas decorations. Oh, they're so precious. We're going to put this on a Christmas tree. And these same people, God's going to torment people for eternity because they're stupid. They didn't choose Jesus like I did. Well, people are callous. They don't have a desire for the work of God's hands. But God does. That's the good news here that I begin with. Now we get to the prophetic. There are prophecies concerning the sixth seal. Well, you shouldn't be surprised because, again, the unveiling of Jesus Christ is a circumcision writing. It is gonna, the events therein will affect the entire earth, but it's a letter to Israel, about Israel. And so no surprise that we should find Israelites prophesying about it. It's no strange thing. Oh, John saw this amazing new thing. Well, some things he saw were new, but some things were spoken of by the prophets. Now I'm going to quote you Isaiah chapter 13, verses 6 through 13. This is a prophecy that really looks ahead to the sixth seal. Because I challenge you to find anywhere this in history, in Israel's history, this has happened before. Howl, not Mr. Howl. For near is the day of Jehovah, as devastation from the all-sufficient shall it come. Devastation. Therefore, all hands shall be relaxed and every mortal heart shall melt. We haven't seen that yet, have we? Every mortal heart melting? We saw Nebuchadnezzar, but that was like a laser strike. I'm going to just get this guy. Job's heart melted. I'm going to go after this guy. I'm going to go after this guy, one at a time. This is wholesale melting. This is major heart meltage going on. Prophesied by Isaiah, carried out with the opening of the sixth seal. Every mortal heart shall melt, and they shall be flustered. Well, that's a switch, isn't it? Now they walk around in all their pomp and all their circumstances and all their limos and their corporate jets and the jet setters, the celebrities, the stars of this eon. They're going to become flustered. Distress and cramps shall take hold of them, as she that is bearing shall they travail. A man at his associate shall be amazed, as the appearance of blazes are their faces. People are going to be amazed as the appearance of blazes on their faces. It's like you see a face in a campfire. Or somebody staring at their house burning down. Let's put it that way. And their face is amazed. They couldn't imagine that such a thing could happen. Verse 9, Isaiah 13. Behold, the day of Jehovah comes. In other words, the day of the Lord. Jehovah is the Hebrew translation of the Greek kurios, which is Lord. The day of Jehovah comes, cruel and raging and hot with anger. But again, Isaiah is just looking at the intermediary stuff here, not looking at the end game. To make the land a desolation, the land, and its sinners he will exterminate from it. And that's true, that's coming. We're going to get to that when we get into the opening of the seventh seal. My God, the seventh seal. If you think the sixth seal is bad, and it is, it affects the heavens, though. And people are afraid because of what's happening with the stars of the heaven, and the sun is being blackened, and the moon is as blood. But what do you see what happens to the people? It's horrible. But we're not going to hold back on you. Going to get to that. For the stars of the heavens and their constellations shall not irradiate their light. There you go. That's a direct reference to the unveiling, chapter 6. When the stars did not give out their light. And in fact, the stars fall from heaven to the earth as a fig tree is casting its shriveled figs quaking under a great wind. As easily as figs fall from a tree in a wind, so will the stars of heaven fall. I'm going to tell you what these stars are this week, I think. We're going to get to that. It's not the constellations that you see. It's not the Big Dipper. Don't worry. The Big Dipper's not going anywhere. But, well, I'm going to get to that. For the stars of the heavens and their constellations shall not irradiate their light. The sun is darkened in its going forth. The sun is darkened, just like it was at Jesus Christ's crucifixion. But that was for a few hours. It was so scary, the people fled. Those people who were hanging out at the cross when Jesus died, the sun became dark, and it became like midnight in the middle of the day. And people ran to their houses and hid under their beds. That was just a foretaste, a dress rehearsal, a microcosm of a larger scale darkening of the entire earth, not just the zip code at Golgotha, but the entire earth. And the moon shall not be bright with its light. And I punish the inhabitants with evil and the wicked with their depravity. And I cause to cease the pomp of the arrogant. Again, the Nebuchadnezzar experience, the pomp of the arrogant. The chiefs of the Zion will be hiding from the face of God. And the pride of the terrible will I abase. Those who are terrible, that is terrible in their aspect, terrible now, like, wow, look at that person. That's terrible. I mean, it's not terrible in that they're wicked or evil, but that they're just so magnificent. And we fall down in awe of celebrity. I mean, I do that in a way myself. We're all a little starstruck, but I'm giving us all a wake-up call here that those who are terrible in their aspect, like, wow, so impressive. You just would kneel down in front of them and kiss the Pope's rings and crazy stuff like that. Forget about it. I cause to cease the pomp of the arrogant. It's going to stop when the sixth seal is opened. Not until then. Not until then, because before, it's just another war, just another plague, just another famine. We've seen this before. Not this time, folks. You've never seen this before. I will make a mortal more precious than fine gold and a man purer than the gold of Ophir. In other words, you know, mortals are in big trouble and their commodity is going to rise as their numbers decrease, and decrease they will. Therefore, the heavens will I disturb. That's it. That's what we're seeing with the sixth seal. Perfect. Isaiah nails it here in verse 18 or 19. It says, the heavens will I disturb. That's what you're going to see. You're going to see God's going to wave his hand, and the heavens are going to be disturbed in a manner that no one's ever seen before. And it's going to be extremely frightening. The earth shall quake from its place. And that's what we're seeing. Islands moved out of their place. The unveiling six, every mountain and every island was moved out of its place. Here's Isaiah, and the earth shall quake from its place, and the rage of Jehovah of hosts, and in the day of the host, and the heat of his anger. It's not the end, remember that. We're seeing a passage from the three evil eons to the two good eons. Jesus equated it to birth pangs. Now you see that although that was a figure of speech, birth pangs of a woman, that the pain and the anguish is as real as can be.